holding at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. So we'd started the perek with a list of things that have that can be said in any language, one of them being Parshas Sota, that's how it comes into our Masechta, and things that can be said only in Lashon Kodesh, one of them being Brachos HaKlolos and Hagrizim and Hareva, which we've been dealing with the last couple of days. Now we're continuing with the next thing that the Mishnah had said over there has to be said in Lashon Kodesh. Birkas Kohenim Kesan. How is Birkas Kohenim done? What do we mean when we say it has to be done in Lashon Kodesh, and how is it done? Hello? The Medina Omer Osa Sholosh Brachos, in the Medina, meaning everywhere outside the Beis Hamikdash, it's set as three separate brachos, and the Tzibur answers Amen after each one. Medina meaning everywhere in the world outside the Beis Hamikdash. The Medina literally means the country, so yeah, primarily it means everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but by extension it means everywhere else in the world outside the Beis Hamikdash. They say there's three brachos, like we do. Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, Amen. Yer Hashem Panam Elecha Vechnecha, Amen, and then so forth, the third one. Uvamikdash bracha achas. In the Beis Hamikdash, they said Birkas Kohenim as one long bracha. They did not say Amen between the Pesukim. And at the end, instead of saying Amen, they said Baruch Hashem Kod Machot Zolon Avoyed. As the Gemara will, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Minan Amad Olam. As the Gemara will talk about later on that. And we'll talk about in the Gemara the reasons for the difference. Another difference, Uvamikdash Omer as Hashem Kiksovoy. In the Beis Hamikdash, they used to say Hashem's name the way it's written, meaning Rashi says they would actually say the name Yudke Vovke with the proper Nekudas. Yeah, the Shema Mefurash. Uva Medina Bekinuya. Elsewhere in the world, they only say, they say it as we say it. So there are different opinions about it. Rashi says Vekisavi means the name Yudke Vovke with the proper Nekudas. Whereas outside the Mesmethesh, we say it as Adonai. There are other Rishonim who talk about the possibility that maybe Kiksavoi, maybe it means over here, maybe they use the shame of 12 Osius or the shame of 42 Osius, especially because also, you know, in Yom Kippur davening, we say, it comes from Mishnayot and Yoma, that when the Kohen Gadol would say the shame of Mefurash on Yom Kippur, how your Kohen and Mishtachim and Noflam Apneim, they would all bow down, so why only then? Why not the rest of the time when we don't find that when the Kohen Duchim there every day, that they would all bow on their faces? So the difference may be that the Kohen Gadol may have used the shame of 12 Osius, and here they use the shame of 4 Osius, or the Kohen Gadol used, on the contrary, maybe the Kohen Gadol used the name Yudke Vavke, and over here they use the name of 12 Osius, which has less kedusha, whatever, there's different possibilities that we're showing. Has less kedusha than the shame Ben Abba, yeah. Because the shame Ben Abba is, so to speak, like David's personal name, more so than any of the other names. Nobody knew, or nobody knows nowadays what the proper Nekudah is about. No, well, they weren't allowed to. You're only allowed to say it, as we were going to talk about. You're only allowed to say it in the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why, eventually, the proper pronunciation of it was forgotten. That Tosfos Yom Tov brings in Yuma another possibility that maybe both, when they were doing daily Birkas Kohenim and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, maybe they all used the shame Yudke Vavke, but on Yom Kippur, the Kohen said it with different Nekudas. And Tosfos Yom Tov actually lists what those Nekudas are, Alpi Kabbalah. Segel and Komet, Segel, Komet, Cholim, Komet, I think, or something like that. I don't remember exactly, whatever. Okay, another difference. But Medina Kohenim Nosin Etzidem Kineges Kisvei, and outside the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohenim lift up their hand opposite their shoulders, meaning they lift up their hand to shoulder height. Uva Mikdash Al Gabei Roshehem, and the Beis Hamikdash, they would lift up their hands above their heads. Like this. Yeah, we mean like this, yeah. The difference is, Rashi says, because in the Beis Hamikdash, the Shechina rests on their hands. Outside the Beis Hamikdash, less so. So we cover our faces with the talus, and they cover their faces with the talus, so we don't look at them and get distracted, and to a lesser extent, because the Shechina is on their hands. But it's not such a high level of Gilui Shechina as there was in the Beis Hamikdash, where the Shechina was manifest. So therefore, outside the Beis Hamikdash, rather, they lift up their hands to shoulder height because they don't need to lift them any higher. And also they talk about the possibility if you're duchen every day, there may be an issue with raising them higher than your tefillin. Whereas in the Beis Hamikdash, since the Shechina rests on their hands, they lift it above their heads for one thing, because Mefarshim say it would be disrespectful that their head should be above where the Shechina is. So therefore they raise it above their head, so that way the Shechina is higher than their head.
But you could see the Shechina there?
I don't know, you could see. I don't know what you could see exactly. I don't know what it means to see the Shechina, but whatever, yeah.
You're not allowed to look,
but that's exactly why we cover our heads with the talus. Chutz mekohen gadol, she'en magbias yado d'mayim menatzitz, except for the kohen gadol in this mikdash, when he duchen, he would only lift his hands not higher than the tzitz, which was on his forehead, because the tzitz has the Eibishter's name on it, and it wouldn't be respectful for him to lift up his hands higher than that. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, no, Af Kohen Gadol might be a Yadol Lamayim and Atzitz. No, also the Kohen Gadol lifts up his hands higher than the Tzitz. Shenema, now the Pasuk says, Vayisa Ya'aron, that's Yadol Ala'om Vayivarachim. Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and blessed them. So some Mepharshim say that this is part of Rabbi Yehuda's proof. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. If the Pasuk says he lifted up his hands, then it must mean, it doesn't say specifically how high he lifted them, so it can mean as high as he wanted. Or that, otherwise it would have specified. Also, other Mepharshim talk about the possibility that Amban, so even though we're assuming that this Pasuk means that he lifted up his hand and benched them with Birkas Kohenim, that's what Rashi says on the Pasuk, that Amban says not necessarily. Birkas Kohenim, the pastures haven't been given yet. Birkas Kohenim, we first find in Chumash Bamidbar. The pastures, the Ebishter only gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu later. So what happened when it says by Yisa Aaron at the Yad of Alam Vayivarachim? This is on the eighth day of the Miluim, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as the Gemara will say. The Pashtus, the Ramban says, it was not necessarily Birkas Kohenim. It was Aaron's own bracha that he came up with on the spot. So in that case, not necessarily was he lifting up his hands for duchening. He was lifting up his hands to raise his hands up to Hashem as they used to do, and they davened in those days in order to bless the people. So then the Pashtus, it was above his head, because that's the posture that they did for davening in those days. And we see he raised his hands higher than the Tzitz. So evidently, then Rabbi Yehuda says there's no problem raising your hands higher than the Tzitz. Other Mepharshim learn that this Shenem of Ayisa Yehuda is not part of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. It's rather referring back to how do we know that the Kohen have to lift up their hands when they're duchening, because it says Ayisa Aaron at Yehuda. It has Hashem's name on it. So they talk about that, and that's part of what the Tefillah and the Chorah also have Hashem's name on them. Right, so that's part of the reason why when we're saying that outside the Beis Mikdash they only lift up their hands up to shoulder height, that's part of it, in order that's not higher than the Tefillah. Having said that, though, other Mepharshim point out the difference is the Tefillah, yes, they have Hashem's name in it. In fact, a lot of times, not just the Tzitz has it, only the one time, but the difference is on the Tzitz it's uncovered and then the Tefillah is covered. Yeah.
But it's the same?
What do you mean? It's the same. I mean, it's the same letter. It's the same.
It was the
Yud Kei Vav Kei, but in the Tefillin also we have the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Although having said that, I asked Levi Zarchi today, and he told me that when he duchens, he does in fact lift his hands higher than his head. So I don't know. That's as far as the Kohen Gadol, because our Mishnah is saying Yotzin Yidein Kneged Kitzvein, but there is actually Machlokas Rishonim. Does that mean the other Kohenim in the Beis Mikdash are not allowed to, or in the Medina rather, are not allowed to lift their hands higher than their shoulders? It just means that they don't have to. So the Raivin in particular says it just means they don't have to, but they could if they want to. So therefore maybe he's fearing it like that, I don't know. We learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Kois Tavarchu, thus shall you bless the Jewish people, means V'loshen HaKodesh, means you have to say it in Loshen Kodesh, and the way it says in the Pasuk. Okay, after over V'loshen HaKodesh, and El V'chol Loshen, how do you know? Maybe it means you can bless them in any language. No. We make a Gzeda Shava. Nema kan Kois Tavarchu, it says over here that so should you bless the people. V'nema lahalan Eile Yamdu L'vorech HaSa'am, it says by the Hagrizim and Harevo that these ones should stand to bless the people. Malahalan, V'loshen HaKodesh, Afkan V'loshen HaKodesh. Just like by Hagrizim and Harevo, it was said in Loshen Kodesh, which we learned the other day how we know that. Either we learn a Gzeda Shava Kol from Matan Torah, or we said that Rabbi Yehuda had said we had a different limit for it. What do you say? That we learn it from the Ansa of Amra by Chalitza, that they were Russian tradition here. That's the yeah. Doesn't matter. You can make a Zayin Shavu across different Svarim and Chumash. So therefore, it has to be Russian tradition. Rabbi Yehuda in it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need that limud to teach us that it has to be in Russian Kodesh. We can learn it from the very words of the pasuk. It says koi, which means exactly like this. Ad shirema b'loshen hazeh. So it has to be said exactly in this loshen that it says in the Torah. Which Tosfos points out that Rabbanan would hold if it said kocha would mean that it has to be dafka in loshen kodesh. But koi doesn't necessarily mean that. Tanya, so that's number one. The Gemara is going to go through all of the prerequisites, and Shulchan Aruch says basically there's six essential things that have to be done in Birkas Kohanim for it to be valid, for it to be yod to the mitzvah. This is the first one that has to be in Lashon Kodesh. Now the Gemara is going to go through by quoting Braises for each one, all the other ones. Tanya, we learn in another Braise. Kosovo, who the Pasuk says, thus shall you bless, means Ba'amida, means you have to be standing. The Kohanim have to be standing. Okay, again, after Omer Ba'amida, in El Afilabi Yeshiva, how do you know? Maybe the Kosovo, who says it means standing. Like this. another gzeira shava. Namakan koytivar. Who benem lahalan eli yamdu l'varich. So again, malahalan ba'amida, afkan ba'amida. Just like over there, it means standing. So here also means standing because over there it says eli yamdu. Yeah, eli yamdu l'varich. Reb Nathan, I'm in a sorech. Reb Nathan says I don't need that gzeira shava. Haro yoimer. You have a different pasuk that says l'shorisay l'varich b'shvoi. The pasuk speaks of that Hashem shows Shevet Levi to serve him and to bless in his name. So Mama Shoris Bamida, so just as serving in the Bismikash has to be doing the Avodah in the Bismikash has to be done standing, Akma Borish Bamida, so also blessing the people with Birkas Kareinim also has to be done standing. Okay, Umma Shoris Gufuminola, and how do we know that the Avodah itself has to be done standing? Just give, because you have another pasuk that says Lamed Lashoris, to stand and to serve. So, Lamed Lashoris B'Shem Hashem, yeah. The question is, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks in Gurion Hashas, the first pasuk that we quoted, L'shorisei L'vorach B'shmoi, three words before it, it says, L'amod L'fnei Hashem. So what do we need to bring in? We need to bring a different pasuk to prove that the avodah has to be done standing. So there's many different answers that have been given. The Magen Avraham, in his Pirush on the Medrash, says that if we only had the pasuk Lamed L'fnei Hashem, we would think it only means in the Chodesh of Chodashim you have to stand when you're doing the Avodah. Who says it means when you're doing any other Avodah in the rest of this Midrash? So you need the other pasuk Lamed L'shoris, that any shirus that's being done B'Shem Hashem, in the name of Hashem, has to be done standing. Wherever it is. Different other Mepharshim talk about different other possibilities, including one other one, the Or Sameach brings up a possibility that the first pasuk the Gemara had quoted over here, L'shorisei L'vorach B'shmoi, is not actually the one from Parshas Ekev, which mentions Lamoid, but rather the one from the end of Shoftim that's talking about the Egla Rufa, where it says that the Eibishah chose the Kohenim, L'shorisei L'vorach B'shmoi. It uses the same expression, L'shorisei L'vorach B'shmoi, but there it doesn't say anything about standing. So then we would need another pasuk, the pasuk Lamed L'shoris, to teach us that it has to be done standing. In Parshas Shoftim, that teaches us that all avodah has to be done standing. So it has to be done standing. They talk about the different posts can talk about all these things that we mentioned over here. Are they in the kuvah? If you have a kohen who's not able to stand for whatever reason, is he allowed to sit to do birkas kohen? And the consensus of the posts is that no. When we compare it to the avodah, it means it's an absolute chiyuv. Having said that, though, now there are other rules that apply to the avodah as well that don't apply to birkas kohen. For example, a kohen who's drunk is not allowed to do the avodah. If a Kohen has drunk wine, he's not allowed to duchen. That is why on Simchas Torah we have the Kohen duchen by Shacharis rather than by Musaf, because between Shacharis and Musaf you make a Kiddush. But if they're drunk on other alcoholic beverages, many posts can say they are allowed to duchen. Other posts can disagree, but okay, there is an opinion among posts that they are allowed to duchen if they're drunk on other beverages. I think that's broader halacha. So mashka would be okay. Wine is not unlike in the Mishmikash. Another difference: a kohen who's a baal mum is not allowed to serve in the Mishmikash. A kohen who's a baal mum is allowed to duchen, provided the Mishnah and the Gemara talk about it in the Megillah, provided that his mum is not something that people are going to notice and it's going to distract them. So nowadays, that the kohen cover their hands with the talus and we cover ourselves with the talus, it's kind of a moot point. Even if a kohen has mum on his hand, it's neither here nor there. Nobody's going to see it. But the fact that he has a mum doesn't pass along the birkas kohenim. We don't compare it to avodah in that sense. So the comparison to the avodah is a limited one. So there are a couple of other aspects in which it is compared. For example, there's a halacha that a kohen who worships avodah zarah is never allowed to serve in the Bismikash again. And there's a similar halacha when it comes to duchening, that a kohen who served avodah zarah, or who Rachman Al-Fan converted to another religion, even if he did tshuva afterwards, is never allowed to duchen. Actually, the Alter Rebbe is still considered a kohen, but he's not allowed to duchen. Actually, there the Alter Rebbe says it's more of a knas that the chachamim put on him. But yeah, so there are certain similarities, but it's not across the board. They talk about also, they talk about what about the tzibur have to stand. So there are, the Sefer Charedim says, just like there's a mitzvah for the Kohenim to bench us, so there's a mitzvah for the Yisraelim to be there to be benched. So in that case, we share in the mitzvah also. And in that case, if they have to stand, so should we. Other posts can say, many posts can say it's not absolutely necessary. The minhag is that we stand, but it's not absolutely necessary. Technically, the tzibur can stand. Yeah. Although it's more respectful for the bracha to stand, and therefore we do. Yeah. Okay. By the way, this we're comparing it in the first one with Lashon Kodesh and this one with standing to how Grizim and how Abel. Tosfos asked the question, instead of making a Gzeira Shava with how Grizim and how Abel, why don't you make a Gzeira Shava with benching? The Chalta V'Savalta V'Rachta. Benching can be done sitting. Benching can be done in any language, as you learned in the first mission of our product. Why don't we compare it to that instead and say Berkus Kodim can be done in any language? Tosfos asked. And the answer is it's more logical to make a Gzeira Shava with how Grizim and how Abel because over there in both that and Berkus Kodim, the Torah specifies the word to use. By benching, the Torah doesn't specify the word to benching. Those were made up by Moshe, by Yeshua, by David and Shlomo, etc. So therefore, it's more logical to compare to how Grizim and how Abel.
Benching the people.
Okay. Tanya Idah. Item number three that's indispensable for Berkus Kohanim. The pasuk says koitzavarku means b'nesias kapayim means you have to bench them with raised hands. Okay, after omer b'nesias kapayim, and now shalom b'nesias kapayim. How do you know? Maybe it doesn't mean with raised hands. Never can koitzavarku. Never lahalam vayisa Aaron as yodav la omvay varchem. The pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah that Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and blessed them. Malahalam b'nesias kapayim. Afkan b'nesias kapayim. So there he lifted up his hands. So here also, so any other time the kohen benched the people also has to be with raised hands. This, by the way, that the Kohenim do the famous thing with the fingers spread out like this, which is where they got the Vulcan salute from, is actually the Gemara doesn't mention that. That's Api Kabbalah. That's Api Medrash. That's based on a Medrash, Metzik Min HaCharakim, and Api Kabbalah. Me'ikra Din, from based on strict halacha in the Gemara, it's not actually necessary.
What's the meaning?
The meaning is basically like a Shevis, so to speak, looking through the windows that are formed between the hands of there to look through and bench the Jewish people. Kasha le Rav Yonason. Now Rav Yonason had a kasha on this. He's one of the Tanoim, actually, but the Gemara is putting it in terms of as if he was an Amora, sort of. It's putting it in a Lashon that we usually use for questions of Amoraim. The expression kasha le Rav Yonason is not really an expression from a Braita. It's more an expression that usually would be used for an Amora. But here, Rav Yonason is a Tana, and another Tana in the Braita is going to be responding to him, but the Gemara interjects in it. Yeah. Okay, so it's kasha le Rav Yonason. Why? If you're going to make a hekesh between between regular Birkus Kohanim and Aaron's bracha that first time on the eighth day of Miluim, that wasn't just any Kohen, it was a Kohen Gadol, it was a Shchodesh, it was during an avoda of the Tzibur, because it was during the Miluim. Maybe Davka Birkus Kohanim is done only by the Kohen Gadol and only on Rosh Chodesh and only by avoda Tzibur. So that doesn't work. No, at this point we're trying to prove that's done b'nesias kapayim, that's done with the hands raised. But if the only proof we have for that is because Aaron raised up his hands and blessed the people, fine, but that was him, the Kohen Gadol, that was on Rosh Chodesh, that was by Korban Tzibur, maybe the din is only, maybe this whole concept of Birkus Kohanim only applies under such circumstances. Okay, that would be the argument, yeah. Okay, so Rav Nosson Omer Ein Hatzorich. So Rav Nosson says, never mind then, we don't need that Zed Shavah, we have a different way of figuring it out. Harehu Emerhu Uvon of Kol HaYomim. A different Pasuk says that the Kohenim serve Hashem, he and his sons all the days. Makish Bon of Loi. So it makes a hekesh between he, meaning Aaron, and his sons. Mahu b'nefiz kapayim, akbon of b'nefiz kapayim. So just like Aaron had to bless the people with his hands raised, by Yisa Aaron of Yadav, so also his sons do. And there you can't ask on the hekesh that maybe it only means the Kohen Gadol because in the shivan al hekesh, Rashi says, when you have a gzeira shava, you can shlug up. A hekesh, you can't. If the Torah puts together two things, it means to make a comparison between them regardless of what questions you might come up with. And a hekesh is when two things are juxtaposed, are put together in a positive case. A gzeira shava is one word from one place and one from another. So that takes care of the Kohen Gadol versus Kohen Hadiyah problem. And furthermore, the Itkesh Bracha L'Cheder. Second of all, we have the Hekesh we mentioned before between blessing the people and serving, the Shorosu L'Gorach B'Shmoy. So the same thing that applies to serving in the Bais Mikdash applies to giving the Bracha. So therefore, it's not only on Rosh Chodesh, it's every day. And it's not necessarily only Avodas Tzibur. It could be also at other times. So what does that mean exactly? So Tosfos discusses that what does Avodas Tzibur over here mean? for example, means when they brought the korban tamid, or when they brought the korban musaf, according to Tosfos, each of the korbanos tamid, as well as any korban musaf, they were duchen. The Rambam holds differently. The Rambam holds they're only duchen once a day by shachris, because that's how the Mishnah describes it in the Masechta Tamid. In most tefillos we don't have duchening anyway. Outside of Israel, the general Ashkenazic minhag is only to duchen on Yom Tov, and only by Moses. But we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu all the other times. We don't say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu by Mincha, by the way, because Koyanim usually wouldn't duchen by Mincha, because usually some people will have drunk wine with lunch, as they used to in those days, and therefore we can assume the Koyanim are drunk. On a Tainus Tzibur, we have to do. We don't duchen on a Tainus Tzibur, but we do say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu by Mincha.
Why?
Because the Koyanim don't duchen, because in general we only duchen on Yom Tov, which is, there is a vast amount of... In Eretz Yisrael, there are different minhagim. On a Tain Sibur by Mincha, well, those who duchen every day duchen then also, as far as I know. But actually, I'm not so sure. No, I think actually the Gemara says in Tainus that even if you duchen every day, you don't usually duchen Tain Sibur by Mincha. But if a Kohen went up, then you don't make him leave, because that would be a pogam on him. People would think that he's a possible Kohen. But yeah. This is probably as good a place as any, by the way, to discuss the issue why we only duchen on Yom Tov outside of Israel. And by the way, I mean, the Rebbe brings in a couple of places that the Alter Rebbe wanted to reinstitute it every day, but it didn't work out. Something similar was brought about the Vilna Gaon. Actually, the Alter Rebbe in his Siddur puts the order of Birkas Kohanim after the daily Shemoneh Esrei, not after the Yom Tov one. And the Shara Kodal says that's precisely why, because Alter Rebbe holds essentially it should be every day. Because the minhag of our country is that it's only done on Yom Tov.
He puts it in Shulchan.
Not in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, indeed, the halachas of Birchas Kodim are placed in Shulchan Aruch among the halachas of daily davening. But I'm talking about in the Siddur. The Alter Rebbe put in the Siddur. Unlike if you look in the Tzilus Hashem Siddur, you'll find Birchas Kodim, the order of Birchas Kodim is after Musaf of Yom Tov, because practically speaking, that's where we do it. But the Alter Rebbe, in his original Siddur, and you'll find it that way in the Siddur Torah as well, put it after weekday Shachris. Because essentially, it should be every day after Shachris.
Even outside
of Eretz Yisrael. That's what I'm saying. The Rebbe brings it. The Alter Rebbe tried to be manhig that, but it didn't work out. So why Tachta Dovi? So going back to the Maharil talks about a couple of possible reasons. One of them is because the Kohenim like to tovel before they duchen. It's proper to tovel before they duchen. And especially during the winter, you can't expect them necessarily to go and tovel in a freezing mikveh every day. That's one reason. Another reason that Maharil brings and that Amar clarifies is because it would be bitul malacha. People have to go to work. And then Amar's point doesn't mean, we're not talking about the extra 5 minutes that it would take for duchening is going to be time that people, that it means because people are so busy and so taken up with work and trying to make ends meet during our times in Golos, people don't have the head, people don't have the simcha for Birkas Kohanim as it should be. And therefore, we only do it on Yom Tov when we have that real simcha. And therefore, specifically by Musaf, because then we have the simcha that we're about to go home and have a Yom Tov meal. So the Alter Rebbe wanted to be manning it every day, because we should have a bracha should be given every day. But because of these various reasons, as well as others, it didn't happen. So that's the thing. Well, so there is the idea. We'll, as we go through the sugya, we'll see that. Once a Kohen has duchen once that day, technically he's been yotze the mitzvah. He doesn't have to duchen again that day. We'll talk about on other days. If a Kohen doesn't duchen, he's over on an eser. But once he's duchen that day, he has been yotze. But the idea is basically that since we want to do it at a time of maximum simcha, the maximum simcha is by Musaf, when we're about to go and have the Yom Tov, maybe the Samachta B'Chagecha, and have the Yom Tov meal. Except Simcha Third, practically speaking, we have to move it back to Shacharis, because by Musaf already you can't. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm given to understand that different Lubavitcher Kehillahs have different minhagim over there, whether they duchen only on Yom Tov also, like we do in Chutz La'aretz, or whether they do every Shabbos, or even every day. In Chabad, I heard they only do it on Shabbos.
Yeah, they only do it on Shabbos.
Next. V'tanya Edoch. Now we have another bride. So item number four. The pasuk says Kosa Varchos B'nei Yisrael means B'Shem HaMeforish, means with the Eivishters, with the Shem HaMeforish, as we talk about in the Mishnah, the Yud Gevalter, the 12-letter name, whatever it is. after Omer B'Shem HaMefor, She'enel B'Kinri, maybe it means with one of the other names of Hashem. So Rashi says that Kinri would be over here, would be the name Aleph Davon, like we said in the Mishnah. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hillel, who wants to say that Kinri would be, instead of saying Adonai, would be saying Elokim, for example. This is obvious. I mean, Potter says Yivaracha Hashem, Yivaracha Adonai V'Yishmeracha. What would make us think that you should change it to Yivaracha Elokim? Okay, anyway. So how do you know that it has to adapt to be with the Shema of the Furnish? Talmud Lamer with Thamu with Shmi. The Potter says they should place my name, meaning Shmi HaMiyuchadli, my name, which is unique to me.
Which is
Yudkevav. Which is okay, Yochel after Gruulim came, well then you would think that applies everywhere in the world, not just in the Bismikvish. No, Nemo kind of summer with Shmi. Here the Pasuk says they should place my name. Venema Lahalam Lasumas Shmoy. Elsewhere when the Torah talks about building the Bismikvish, it says to you should go to bring Karbonis in the place that Hashem chooses to place his name, Lasumas Shmoy Sham. So Malahalam Besam Chira, kind of Besam Chira. So just like there, the word Lasumas Shmoy Sham means that the Eved should place his name. Where did he place his name? Only in the Bismikvish. Similarly here, Lasumas Shmi means Dafke in the Bismikvish.
Why is that name?
All the other, well, for one, for the Rambam talks about Mor Nevuchim, that all the other, that name more than any other indicates the unique power of Hashem to create. Yudke Vavke and Moshen Hoya Hoya Vaviyya, and okay, but also a lot of the other names of the Eibishter have other meanings as well. The name of Akim, for example, besides being a name of Hashem, also can be used for malachim and judges and lahabil idols. Similarly, Adonai, on one level, it means the Eibishter, but it can also sometimes mean my master.
Except he didn't reveal himself with that name, but he used to copy his.
Okay, so that's another reason why it's the Shema. Okay. Rabbi Yoshia says, I don't need that Zer Shava. We have a different way of figuring it out. Harei Omer, the Pasuk says, V'cholam mokim asher azkir shmi, in any place where I mention my name, or where I allow my name to be mentioned, Ovei Elecha, I will come to you. So what does that mean? V'chol mokim safadet? Anywhere in the world, the Eved's name can be mentioned? No. Ela mikra zem esuratu. The Pasuk is actually, you have to change around the order of the words in the Pasuk to understand what it means. In any place where I come and bless you, Shom Azkiratri, there I give permission for my name, the name Yudkevavke, to be mentioned. But only in the place where the Eibishter comes, to where the Shechina rests, namely in the Mitzvah Hashem. The Heichan Ovei Alecho Ovei Ratzicha. So that's what I mean. Because first there was the Mishkan. First there was the Mishkan in the desert, which traveled from place to place. Then there was Shiloh. Then there was the Bismikdash. So in all those places. Where am I going to come to you and bless you? The Beis Hamchira, only in the Beis Hamikdash, or the Mishkan before it. Shom Azkiras Shmi, the Beis Hamchira, only there do I give permission for my name to be said, my actual name, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, to be said in the Beis Hamchira. Tanya Idach, then we have another Raisa. The Pasuk says, Kosev Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael, Einli Ela Bnei Yisrael. So based on this, we would only know that the Bracha is addressed to Bnei Yisrael, male-born Jews, as we've learned before. A lot of times when the Torah says that a mitzvah is addressed to Bnei Yisrael, it means but not Bnei Yisrael, not women, not Gerim, etc. So how do we know Gerim, Noshim, Avodim, Shachroim, Nayin? How do we know that women and Gerim and women and freed slaves are included? Some of the also say that the word Shachroim should be taken out. Maybe it includes regular slaves also, Avodim, Kananim. Other Mepharshim counter that Avodim Kananim are considered Aru, like Avram said to Eliezer, so maybe it's not appropriate that the bracha is chal on them. Yeah, because that's what Avram says to Eliezer, right? That you want your daughter to marry Yitzchak, but I'm Baruch, you're Aru and Baruch don't go together. Anyway.
He's an
Eved. He's an Eved, yeah. Okay, anyway, so how do we know that those classes of people are included as well? Tamadlema Omer Lahem Lekulu. No, because the Pasuk continues, say to them. To them means everybody. Everybody's included. Now leave the shul, but maybe the bracha is not addressed to them. Maybe it's only addressed to the men. Maybe it's not chal on them yet. We'll talk about an Omer Beis, actually, what might be a nachimina of that, yeah. Tanya Edoch, Kosev Baruch Hu. Now we have the fifth item that's indispensable to Birkas Kohenim. Kosev Baruch Hu, Ponim Keneged Ponim. It has to be face to face. Well, after I'm a Ponim Keneged Ponim, I now a Ponim Keneged Oref. How do you know? Maybe it means face to back, which Rashi says that means, in other words, maybe the Tzibur doesn't have to face the Kohenim. The Kohenim, let's say it's a given, has to face
to back when he says face to face.
That's it. The Gemara, that, this is how Braises do things a lot of times. We have the Kabbalah, the word Kosev Baruch Hu means that it should be done like this, face-to-face. Now, the Braisa starts analyzing, the Braisa from Sifri starts analyzing it. How do we know that that's what it means? Maybe it means it doesn't matter. It could be face to back, and we're going to prove from a different culture that it has to mean face to face. And then based on that, that supports our original statement that Kosev Baruch Hu means face to face. That's the style of these braces. So Rashi says it means granted the Kohenim have to face the Tzibur, but who says the Tzibur has to face the Kohenim? Maybe they can just be facing in whatever direction. Rabbi Nachman learns the other way around. Maybe it means the Kohenim should be facing the Ohr Kodesh and the Tzibur are facing towards their back. Whatever it is, how do we know that? Not Tamar Bama Omer Lahem. No, therefore the pasuk says say to them, which means call them Omer Lachaveru. Like a person speaks to somebody else, you speak face to face. You don't speak to the other person's back. Tanya Idach, we learn in another place. That Kosev Baruch Hu means the curled rod, means in a loud voice. Oh yeah, in El Balachash, how do we know? Maybe it means quietly. Again, Amar Lahem, the Pasuk says, again, the Pasuk says, speak to them. Again, it means like one person speaks to somebody else. He doesn't speak in a whisper. Having said that, the Parashim say that actually when we say we hear Kol Ram, doesn't mean they have to scream. It means actually in a normal conversational tone of voice. Now, practically speaking, if it's a big shul, like 770 or the Postal or something, the Kohenim have to scream because otherwise nobody's going to hear them. But in principle, they just do it in a normal conversational tone of voice. Not screaming, but not whispering either. So those are the six essentials of Birkas Kohanim. Yeah, Tosis points that out. Tosis points out that since we had before Yehuda's opinion that instead of learning from Hagrizim, we learn from the word Klay itself. And according to him, you need the word Omer Lahem to teach us that it should be in a normal voice. No, so by Hagrizim and Harif also when it says the Yerushalmi says when it says Kol Ram also doesn't mean that it's screaming. It just means Kol Ram means the best kind of voice. What's the best kind? A normal tone of voice. Loud enough for everybody to hear, but it wasn't like they were screaming just for the, you know, yeah. Over Abaya, Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, L'shnayim Kora Kohenim, or Echad Ene Kora Kohen. If there's two or more Kohenim in Shul who are going to be Duchening, then the Chazan called out Kohenim. But if there's only one Kohen, he does not. Which is Shenema Omer Lahem, L'shnayim, because the Pasuk says, say to them. Them plural, meaning two. So if there's only one, then there's nobody to say it to. And there's actually there are Rishonim who learn based on this Gemara that if there's only one Kohen, in general, the post can take the view, which becomes important also as far as this business of the Kohen and not Duchening every day, that the Gemara is going to say on a base that a Kohen who doesn't go up to Duchen is over on three S's, but that's only if he's called to come up, only if they say Kohenim and he fails to go up. So therefore, according to our Gemara over here, would come out then. So that's one argument. Then nowadays, the Kohenim in Chutz La'aretz or whatever, in all the places where you don't duchen every day, where Minhag Ashkenaz is that you don't duchen every day, how are the Kohenim not every single day being over on these three mitzvahs? Because nobody's inviting them, and nobody's calling out Kohenim and telling them to go out. So similarly here, if we say there's one Kohen, you don't say Kohenim, implies if there's one Kohen, then he's not over by failing. He's not over by failing to come up because he wasn't actually called to come up. The difference is like this. The difference is that the minhag eventually developed that the Kohen always says Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. There's actually the Maharam Ruthenberg first held that should be done, that the Kohen should always say Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, and then call out Kohenim out loud. Later on, he changed his mind. Nevertheless, the halacha is passing like Maharam Ruthenberg's original opinion, which is that the Kohenim doesn't, that the Chazan doesn't back say Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. And then, as our Gemara is saying, if there's two or more Kohenim, he calls out Kohenim. If there's only one Kohen, he just says the whole thing quietly. The same way as we have Birkas Kohanim here in New York. Yeah. Why not? So maybe they didn't duchen every day. Maybe they only, I mean, the minhag eventually developed to duchen only on Yom Tov. I don't know if in Bavel they did it every day or in the time of Adam or if they only did it every day or every Yom Tov or what have you, but still, whenever they did it, yeah. The Omer of Chista, also of Chista said another din, Naktinan, we also have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim, Koyen, Koyre Koyenim, Ve'en Yisrael, Koyre Koyenim. Only a Koyen should be the one calling out the word Koyenim. A Yisrael should not. Shenema Omer Lahem, because the Pasuk says say to them, which means Amira Mishalahem Tehei. The calling, the saying, Kohenim, should be done by one of theirs. The Hilchas HaKavaseh D'Abaya, now the Halacha is like a bias statement, about two Kohenim versus one. The less Hilchas HaKavaseh D'Rav Chista, however, the Halacha is not like Rav Chista, so it doesn't have to be a Kohen who calls out Kohenim, it can be a the Chazan can be a Yisrael and can still call out Kohenim. And in fact, the Yerushalmi has a different version of Rav Chista, of Rav Chista's statement that's the other way around, that Davka Yisrael should be calling it out. And based on that, the Halacha is that preferably the Chazan, when it comes to Duchening, should be a Yisrael. And he's the one calling for the Kohenim and calling out Kohenim, and then they go in. Because that's a different version of Rav Chista's statement that's in Yerushalmi. The opposite of what Agamar is saying, Halacha is not like Rav Chista, which would mean it could be either a Kohen or a Yisrael. But the Yerushalmi has a version of Rav Chista's statement that he says it should have to be a Yisrael calling, not a Kohen.
On the basis of
that? He learns the Pasuk, Amar Lahem differently. Okay. Simon, the Simon is for a number of statements of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the Gemara is going to start quoting. Mis'avel, bracha, duchan, ba'avoida, kos, makir, nena, ba'gola. Each of these is a key word of one of the next eight statements that we say from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, minayin shakarish boch, mis'avel, birkas kohenim. How do we know that the Ebeshter desires, that the Ebeshter like looks forward to Yahoo, that birkas kohenim should be done? Shenema, the Samu Ashmi, Abnei Yisrael, Ani Abarachim. It says they should place my name on Bnei Yisrael, and I will bless them. So, like the Eibishter makes it, it's not for the sake of the Jewish people. They're going to be blessed anyway, but it's for my sake. The Samu Ashmi, they should be placing my name.
What is
the Eibishter looks forward to it? So, because the Eibishter wants to be Mashpi of goodness to us, and then how is that accomplished through Birkas Kohenim? So therefore, the Eibishter looks forward to it being done. One of the Mepharshim, I think Ian Yashub says that also, we learn it from the fact, what's the next thing after Birkas Kohenim in the Torah? By Hebian Kalos Moshe, Lachim Asa Mishkan. The Eibishter wanted there should be a Jirvat Kohenim, and therefore the Mishkan. The Eibishter also wants that there should be Birkas Kohenim. The same type there is for the Jirvat Kohenim, the same. For Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, Kohen Shemavarech Misvarech, any Kohen who blesses the Jewish people himself gets a bracha from the Eibishter. V'she'en Mavarech en Misvarech, a Kohen who does not give a bracha does not get a bracha. As the Pasuk says, the Ebeshter says to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. That's true. Right. Right. So Rashi points out that in Chulin, there's a discussion over there. What does it mean when it says Vani Avorchem at the end of Birkas Kohenim? Does it mean that the Ebeshter says I will bless the Jewish people, that the Kohenim are blessing them, and then I'm also agreeing with it, or is it saying the Kohenim are blessing the people? Who blesses the Kohenim? Hashem. So therefore, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has to learn that the Kohenim are getting a bracha from the Eibishter, from the pasuk Avorchem Avorachecha, and not from the words Vani Avorchem, evidently holds like Rabbi Akiva in that Gemara over there, that Vani Avorchem means the Eibishter says, I will agree with the bracha of the Kohenim and bench the Yisraeli. So the Kohenim themselves, how do we know they get a bracha from Avorchem Avorachecha? V'om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, item number 3, Kol Kohen she'en olo l'duchen over v'shloisha esse. Any Kohen who does not go up the duchen is violating 3 esses. Because the Pasuk is Kohisa Baruch Hu, this is how you should bless. Omer lahem, speak to them, the Samu Esri, and they should put my name. So therefore he's being over on 3 of those. But the Rambam explains that it doesn't technically mean that that counted as three mitzvahs in the 613. It's just the Gemara's way of saying that's a very serious thing.
Even one time,
that's what we're saying, yeah. So that's what I was mentioning before. That the post can say this is only if he's called up and doesn't come up. So therefore, in Chutzlaretz or the Ashkenazim in general, whatever, whoever doesn't duchen every day, how are the Kohenim not over on that? Because the Kohenim doesn't call out Kohenim, therefore they're not over. Rav Omar, Rav says differently. Actually, there's a different issue if a Kohen doesn't go up to duchen. We have to be choishish that he might be a son of a divorced woman, a son of a chalutza, and that he might be a cholol. He might not be a valid kohen if he doesn't go up to duchen. And Moshe says, "Well, actually, then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rav are not arguing. The difference is, hod besolik with prakim, hod belay solik with prakim. It depends. Does he occasionally go up to duchen? If he never goes up to duchen, then you have Rav's point. We have to be choishish that he might be a cholol." If he sometimes goes up to Duchen, and sometimes not, fine, we know he's not a Cholol, so he is Duchening sometimes, but every time he doesn't, every time he's called up and he doesn't, then he's over on the 3
essays. Should be a Cholol to a Duchen.
No, a Cholol is not allowed to Duchen.
He's not allowed to do it.
If he is, he's over on an ether, because it says Omer Lahem, Gabriel Aaron, Rob one of them, because we're all talking implying but not to call all of
them. Does that imply that other times during the year,
so maybe this is one of the sources, maybe for the idea of duchening only on Yom Tov, yeah. But the point is, as long as the Kohen at least duchens on Yom Tov, then we know he's not a cholol. But if it's a place where they duchen more often than that, and if he chooses not to go up at the proper time, then yeah. Again, there's the possibility that if the Kohen doesn't want to duchen for one reason or another, if he already duchened that day, he doesn't have to anyway. But let's say for whatever reason he feels too weak to go up or whatever, what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to leave the shul until after the Kohen has called, until after the Chazan has called out Kohen. Then he can come back in. That way, again, he's not hearing the announcement Kohen him and failing to respond. Tosfos, by the way, points out there's another way that a Kohen is able to be machzik himself as a Kohen, even without duchening. The Gemara tells him, call him, Abaya was a Kohen, but he never used to duchen because he was too busy teaching his Talmidim. So what happened? Once a year, on Erev Yom Kippur, he would be careful to take the matnas korona, to take the zroi v'chayayim v'keva that are supposed to be given to a Kohen. He would make a particular point of taking that once a year Erev Yom Kippur in order to make it clear that he knows to be yotzer, to make it clear that he's a Kohen. Yeah. And the point is Tosfos is saying that with all Gemara over here, even if a Kohen never duchens, he has another way of demonstrating that he's a Kohen as well.
Which is what?
Which is to take the matnas korona, like Abaye did. Okay, for Amr Rabbi Shulchan Levi, another thing, Kol Kohen She'ena Ola Ba'avoida, Shulva Eina Ola. Any Kohen who does not go up to Duchen during the bracha of Avoida, during the bracha of Ritzei, should not go up. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Aaron at the other of the Ambay Baruch. Same Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and blessed them. And the Pasuk continues, Vayir Edmei Asoi Sachatas Va Ola Ba'ashlamim. He came down from having grew up a Chatas in the Ola and the Shlamim. Mala Halim Ba'avoida, Hakam Ba'avoida. So just like over there, Birkas Kohen is associated with Avoida, he also, Birkas Kohen has to be associated with Avodah. Now, we don't do it in the middle of the bracha of Avodah. We don't do it in the middle of the bracha of Ritzei, because that would be an interruption in the bracha. The Birkas Kohen has nothing to do with the theme of the bracha Ritzei. We also don't want to do it between Ritzei and Modim, because the Gemara explains in Megillah, the Gemara has a discussion there in Megillah about why the bracha of Shemina Esrei are in the order that they are. And it mentions over there, Hodah Tzorech Avodah, that Hodah is closely linked to the Avodah. Hodah, thanking the Eibishter, is an essential part of Avodah, so they have to go together. There shouldn't be any interruption between them. Therefore, we defer Birkas Kohanim until after the Bracha of Hodah, until after the Bracha of Modim. But at least it has to be associated with the Tzei, in that the Kohen has to start going up. Is that so? But we find that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who were both Kohanim, did go up to Duchen, even though they hadn't moved from their places by the end of the Tzei. The answer is Rav Ami v'Rav Asi me'ikra habu akri karayu. They would move their feet when it came to Ritzei. Nimtol, they have a motor horse, and they just didn't manage to reach the bima or whatever in front of the Aron Kodesh until after Ritzei was over. But as long as they started moving before the Chazan had finished Ritzei, that's good enough. The purpose is we want Birkas Kohen to be associated with Ritzei, with the bracha of Avodah. The bracha of Ritzei is the bracha that Hashem should accept our avodah. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, the format of the bracha was that the Eibishter should accept the avodah of the Kohenim in the Beis Mikdash. Nowadays, the format of it is that Hashem should accept our tefillot, and Hashem should restore the original avodah in the Beis Mikdash. So that has to be associated with Birkas Kohenim based on that pasuk.
You see that sound shit?
Yeah. V'chibetzon in Aboshia, as in fact Aboshia teaches in a Braisa, Loishonu, this that we said that if the Kohen hasn't come up by Ritzei, then he's not allowed to come up. Loishonu al Shloi Okarasu. I love that only if he did not move his feet, but sometime during Ritzei. Abo Okarasu, I love Ola, but if he moved his feet, so even though he didn't make it up there until after Ritzei, that's fine. They talk about the post can talk about, does the dafgaf mean that he's moving his feet to go in the direction of the Duchan? What if, for example, he's moving his feet to go wash first? Is that good enough? Ideally not, but and we have a Mishnah in Megillah that also addresses this, that we see also this issue. The Mishnah says over there that a Kohen who's serving as Chazan should not Duchen, because it's going to get mixed up. Remember, in those days they didn't have Sidurim. If he has to turn around and then bench the people with the three brachos of Birkas Kohanim, and then have to return to Davin, the Sin Shalom, he's going to get confused. But the mission continues. Im havtachase shenoses kapa v'chozel v'tfilase. If he can guarantee that if he's certain that he'll be able to duchen and then return to his tefillah, return to chazaras hashav, rashi, then he's allowed to. Then he's allowed to duchen. Va'avin anva. Now, when we in that Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara discusses holay ochar. Doch, he didn't move his feet. He's still standing with his feet together, saying chazaras hashav. How is he allowed to duchen? So the answer has to be over there that what did he do? He moves a tiny bit while he's standing there by the omelet davening. If he's going to be duchening, he moves his feet a little bit to be yoked for this idea of moving your feet during the day. So the same thing over here. The same thing over here with Rabbi Amir Rabasi, for example, they moved over a little bit. They moved their feet over a little bit enough to show that they're on their way. Practically speaking, by the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch that usually the chazan for duchening should be a Yisrael for reasons that we talked about before, so he's the one announcing it then. But also because practically speaking, it's taka not right that the chazan should be turning around in the middle of chazaras hashav and turn around and duchen. However, again, Levi Zachi told me that it happens sometimes, especially Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when chazanim are at a premium. Sometimes it happens. The only available one is a kohen, and then in fact that's taka what he does. He turns around, duchen, and goes back to the difference is nowadays everyone has hatzachos because nowadays we have sidurim. There's no problem of getting mixed up.
Even with sidurim, you can still get mixed up.
Okay, but it's less likely than if you're doing the whole thing about pay. V'am Rabbi Shurban Levi, another thing Rabbi Shurban Levi said, this one doesn't directly have to do with Birkas Kohanim, but we're bringing it in because it's another statement of his. Ein noisin kos shabracha l'borach el l'tov ayin. We only give the kos shabracha after benching, we only give that to bench to someone who has a good eye, to someone who is generous. Shenemar, tov ayin hu yivorach, as the Pasuk says, the one with a good eye, he should be blessed. Ki nosen melach melador, because he gave of his bread to a poor person. So we have not Yevorech, he will be blessed, but Yevorech, he will bless. He's the one who's appropriate to bless. And one idea is, as Marsha talks about, that as we said before, Kol Mevorech Misvorech, anyone who gives a bracha gets a bracha. So it goes together. When he says a bracha, then automatically that he himself gets a blessing. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Pesach, that for that reason, the Bala Bayis should be the one to bench Alakorik on Pesach night by the Seder. Because the Bala Bayis, these are Tov Ayin, at the beginning of the Seder. We also call the Chvin Yetzir Yechol. We're all inviting in the poor people. Therefore, he's a Tov Ayin, and therefore, he's the one who deserves to be benched. And how do we know that even birds recognize stingy people, and they won't even eat anything that, from theirs? Shenemra, the Pasuk says, Kichinam Mezorah Horeshes Pe'enek HaBa'akonav. For nothing is grain or whatever it is food scattered on the net in the eyes of all the winged creatures. So what does this mean? Rashi says this is from the first parak of Mishlei. The previous psukim before that are describing people who are the simple meaning of the pasuk is describing people who are going out to rob people and they're trying to get somebody to join them. Come join us. We'll have a great time of it. You'll share with us in the loot, etc. But Rashi explains that apparently Rashi takes the view, what's the underlying reason that would make people do that? They're tzorei, and they're jealous of what other people have. They're stingy, and they're jealous of what other people have. That's tzorei. Now what happens? So the pasuk continues. That the pasuk continues with this pasuk that the Gemara is quoting. In context, what the pasuk is saying is, Don't think there's no such thing as a free lunch. Don't think you're going to get away with it. Just like, for example, a bird finds it looks like, hey, free food, and meanwhile it gets caught in the trap. The same way you think there's easy money over here, you're going to wind up getting caught in the trap. The Gemara is taking it over here in a different sense. Since we're talking about sorei ayin, the people who are jealous and stingy, what happens is when he puts out a trap, when he puts out a net and baits it with food, even the birds won't bother with it. Kichinam mezorah reshes. For nothing did he throw that grain onto the trap. The enek or balkanah in the eyes of all the winged creatures, because even they are not going to have anything to do with it. So they know. Now, how do they know? So Marshall says, I mean, birds don't have any intelligence to know. So he says, first of all, the Eibishter arranges that that such a person is not even going to be successful in this. Second of all, he says, as a practical matter, what happened? The birds instinctively realize there's never any food around by this person's place. All of a sudden, he's putting out food. Something fishy over here. They'll instinctively stay away from it. As opposed to somebody who's generous and there's regularly food around his house, then they get in the habit of coming to his area, and therefore if one time he puts out a trap, then they're likely to get caught. Anybody who has hana from somebody who's stingy, somebody who does not want to give away his property, but you have hana from him, somebody who does that is over on a lab. Shenema, the pasuk says, another pasuk in Mishlei, don't eat from the bread of somebody who's a ra'ayin, who has a bad eye, who's stingy. And the pasuk continues, it's like you're embittering this person. Shar actually explains that there's a lotion of embitterment and rottenness and whatever, like you're making things rotten for him. Kainhu, so it is. He'll tell you go eat and drink. But the pasuk continues, we'll leave it about him, but his heart is not in it. So and the pasuk is saying, Al Tilcham, don't eat with such a person. So therefore, yeah, you're already run alive. Of Nachmi Tokama over Bishnema Abin. Al Tilcham Ba Al Tisa. We have the Pasuk is a double expression on the Pasuk. Don't eat from his bread and don't even desire it. So if you go eat from it, you've been over on both those things.
Because he's stingy
and then he feels bad about it.
Not stolen,
but whatever. He feels like he's taken away things. Yeah. As a matter of fact, an egla arufa is only brought because of stingy people. Shenema, the pasuk says, the skenim say during the ceremony, we'll learn about in the last headache, yadenu lo shofor et adam hazeh, our hands did not spill this blood. And we have to ask, because as the Mishnah says later on towards the end of the Masechta, v'chiyal yadenu also shesikne beis and shayf chidamim. Why would we think that the skenim were spillers of blood, that they should have to say that they weren't? Ella, what they mean is, we didn't see him, he didn't come into our hand, and we let him go without food. And we didn't see him and let him be. He didn't come into our hands and we let him go without food. We were responsible, we made sure he had food. And we didn't see him and let him go without an escort, without accompaniment. So therefore, so they're saying, the fact that he got killed, basically, we tried to do what we could. So Marsha asks, in that case, they're not being Sora Ayin. So what are you saying? That Eglad will only be son of Sora Ayin. And Marsha says, because, what are the Skanim saying? The Skanim are saying, we didn't allow him to go without food or without an escort, which actually says the problem going without food, what's going to happen? He's going to be hungry on the way. He's going to have to rob somebody in order to get food. And that person, in defending himself, may kill this guy. So the Skanim are saying, Marsha says, we didn't let him go without food. Evidently, though, somebody else fell down on the job. Somebody else was stingy. And if we had seen him, we would have made sure that he had food, we would have made sure that he had an escort, and he wouldn't be dead. But we see he's dead. Obviously, what happened is we didn't see what happened. Somebody else saw him come to town and let him go without food and without an escort, and therefore he ended up getting killed. So we see that other person is the one who was stingy and caused that now an Eglad Rufa is having to be brought.